Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and I have one of my favorite friends of the show that's going to be on here today. You may know him. His name is William. How you doing there, William?
What's up? I'm doing well. How about you?
I am doing excellent. I haven't been on the show in a little while. I've had a few health issues that have kind of stopped me from doing the show a little bit, but I had to show up for the day. What's the day?
Big news day. Big fight day.
Oh, you're talking about that the Black Beast and Mark Hunt fight. That's what you're talking about?
Ooh, I don't know. There might be a bigger fight on the horizon.
You're saying, like, Betch Kohea and Holly Holm.
Oh, we're getting closer. That one's pretty big.
Dana White versus Demetrius Johnson?
Oh, so warm. Almost there.
What else could it be? Ronda Rousey's coming back?
She's got a fight of her own, but I'm not talking about that fight.
Wow. I'm stuck. What do you have?
Mayweather.
McGregor?
Yes.
That's right. Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather is finally going to happen. It's officially announced now, right?
They're officially announced for August 26th. Most likely going to be at T-Mobile Arena. And that's what they have. They haven't released any contract details, but this is fresh off the press.
All right. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say there's a lot of zeros in Floyd Mayweather's check. A lot of zeros.
Yeah, 8 or 9, maybe 10. I don't know.
I'm going to say Floyd is getting anywhere from right out the gate. I'm going to say he's getting a flat, cool $100 million plus a portion of the pay-per-view. That's what I'm predicting that it's going to come out that he's getting. I say McGregor's going to end up with about $50 million, you think?
50, maybe a little bit of the cut of the pay-per-view, honestly.
Yeah, I think I could see McGregor getting like a portion of the pay-per-view and $50 million. Floyd's going to get about $100 million. There's no fact on that one. That's just my speculation. But
wait, how much is the UFC getting? They cut it three ways.
Oh, I think, you know what? I would probably say the UFC is getting probably a third, if not half, of the pay-per-view dollars.
Not a bad haul. Maybe one of the biggest fights ever. Probably the biggest fight ever.
That's the question I'm going to start out with. Will this be the biggest fight in the history of combat?
It kind of transcends both sports, MMA and boxing.
Before I say it, the current biggest fight in history is Mayweather versus Pacquiao. And then I think the one before, the one after that is Mayweather versus De La Hoya. I think those are the three biggest fights in history.
Yep, that's right.
So I definitely, not only do I think it's going to do better than Mayweather-Pacquiao, I think it's going to crush Mayweather-Pacquiao because there's a lot of people that were fight fans, or, you know, they're into seeing this, you know, this spectacle. But first off, boxing fans are rabid, and they're going to pay for this. UFC and MMA fans are rabid, and they're going to pay for this. But little soccer moms and soccer dads are going to pay for this as well. Do you agree on that one?
Yeah, this is a cultural event. The problem that you had with Mayweather-Pacquiao was that it was 6 years late. This one, Conor is as high as he's ever going to get in terms of his lead-up for MMA. He's a double champ, and now he's bringing all of his promotion over to the biggest boxing star that's been in the last 20 years or so.
As far as pay-per-view dollars and things like that, he's the biggest boxing star in history. And an undefeated champion, unbeaten, untouched, unbeaten champion. Because not that many people have even been able to lay a glove on the guy.
Tate, it's like we're promoting a fight that doesn't need promotion right now.
You know, this is one of the crazy things about this fight is, and I said this to you before the fight, if both guys decided they were going to stay home and just show up, it would still be the biggest fight in history.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. This fight, everyone's been talking about it. My dad, a few months ago, has no clue who the heck Conor McGregor is. But he knows who Floyd is. And he heard that Floyd is fighting some guy from some other event and things like that. Has nothing. My dad is not into mixed martial arts whatsoever. Matter of fact, my dad wouldn't even come watch my fights. He's so not into mixed martial arts. But he's curious about this fight.
Yeah,
he wants to see this fight, even though he has no clue who Conor McGregor is.
And once those promotional wheels start turning, and they release some of the footage that Conor McGregor has amassed in his MMA career, and they see how he's hyping it up, along with the fact that he's actually going to be hyping it up in the promotional tour, they're going to know who Conor McGregor is. And that's going to be something that boxing and MMA has not seen before.
Now, see, this is one of those interesting things where you look at it, and I was seeing a thing where they were talking about one of the reasons why Floyd chose Conor as the only guy that he would come back and fight is because his last three or four fights, he just finds it to be a big pain that he's the only one that can promote the fight. Either you're going to watch him because you hate him and you want to see him get shut up, or you're a big fan of his, but he carries the entire load of promoting. And what he said was the one thing he was excited about is the fact that Conor McGregor would carry his own weight. He, like with Pacquiao, he felt like he had to carry 90 to 95% of the promotion. Now he can sit back, and if he doesn't feel like it, McGregor can take a leg. He can take a leg. They can take a leg together, but they can promote this thing, and it's going to be huge. And that's the reason why, even though he's been part of the biggest, maybe the top five largest fights in history, this will be bigger than anything he's ever done, because now he has a dance partner who can say, hey, I'm the greatest. You guys don't think I'm the man? Stay tuned. And there's going to be a whole bunch of Irish guys out there saying, oh, he's going to win. Or there's going to be a whole bunch of MMA guys that's going to tell everyone, oh, he has a shot. And so people are going to show up.
This fight has already had more people betting on it than any fight that was ever created before.
That was a crazy thing about this that I saw and I wanted to talk about is the fact that Vegas was already taking bets on a fight that hadn't even been scheduled. I had never seen that before.
They never do that.
Right. There's a fight out there that may happen or may not happen. Nothing signed, but
let's bet on it.
We're going to let people bet on it now. You know, the first time that the deal's been finalized is the day, but they've been taking bets for weeks.
That's incredible. They get more bets from this proverbial fight, which was proverbial before today, than they've gotten on some of the biggest cards and some of the biggest fights that have been in the recent past. That's how big this fight is.
No, I agree. This is going to change the game. Well, so when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how we think the fight's going to go. And kind of like early predictions, things like that. Later on, we're also going to talk about some other things that's going on in the UFC world. But for the most part, this episode is dedicated mainly to Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Okay. We're back, and I'm here with my good friend William. And we are talking about the Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor fight that was just ironed out today. I don't necessarily say it was announced today. It was more announced that all the terms have been met and the fight is set for August 26th. That's, to start off, that's one of the things about Floyd Mayweather that I've always loved. You say what you want, but you can say, man, it took him 6 years before he fought Manny Pacquiao, or forever. It'll be all this bantering back and forth. But once they agree to everything, he doesn't want to wait till, like, okay, we're going to fight in November. No, he's like, all right, we got it agreed upon. Training camps tomorrow. We're fighting 6 weeks from now or 12 weeks from now. You know, August is right around the corner. There's only 2 weeks left in June. And then, so it's like a month. It's 2 months before they're fighting again. Or fighting in general. There's a very short window. You know, when you watch some of the other guys, it's literally, you got to wait 6 months to see when they're going to fight. And a lot of things can happen. So I really like that part.
I love it too. I love it from a business aspect because Floyd has typically had fights in May and in September, and he already anticipated that there's going to be another big boxing fight with Triple G and Canelo in September, so he strategically planned to have it in late August, which means more sales, which means more eyeballs being able to watch this fight. Even though you don't really need it, you could have competed with them, but he was smart enough to corner the market on that end.
The other thing that's smart about this is by doing it in August, it's right before like school kind of starts back up. So there's still room for people to take vacation time during that time.
The summer is still kicking.
Exactly. You know, it's still Your last big hurrah before you start gearing up for the winter is Mayweather. I was about to say Pacquiao, Mayweather McGregor. Before the NFL season kicks off, it's Mayweather versus McGregor. Before Triple G gets dirty, Triple G and Canelo fight, it's Mayweather McGregor. They're starting. I think it's ingenious.
Thank you, Mayweather. Thank you, Conor. And thank you, Dana, for putting this fight together in a timely manner and handling it very professionally. You rarely see that in boxing nowadays, and that's just something that has to be commended before we go on any further.
I don't know how I feel about that one. I guess you got a point on that one. You know, it actually, for the most part, when you start thinking about how things went down, you know, there was a lot of issue. I think back to the Pacquiao, you know, Pacquiao didn't want to take the drug test, or he didn't want to take a test right before he fights, and all this. You know what? They got down. They figured it out. There's no issue about, you know, we're going to do the Olympic drug testing. Well, Conor's used to that kind of drug testing. That's the one thing that Mayweather has always demanded. Anyone fights, they come in clean. Well, there's no issue there. And because there's no issue, this fight kind of went down the negotiation kind of went down really smooth, because that was the biggest stumbling block. I mean, that was a 3-4 year stumbling block between Mayweather and Pacquiao, was just a drug test.
Not to mention the split, and we didn't hear any of that. And I'm happy that we didn't hear any of it. I mean, they settled it. They settled it, and it's happening now.
They settled it easy. Even when it was announced that everything was agreed upon, I'm like, no, it can't be agreed upon that easy. There has to be more to this, because, you know, McGregor's gonna want more money or something. No, it got ironed out fast.
And now we're ready. We're ready to talk about it, to just take it in, and it's just right around the corner.
With that being said, how do you see this fight going?
I see this fight going as...
Wait. Does it go... First, my first question is, go to distance or KO?
I'm going to say it goes to distance.
McGregor or Mayweather?
I got to go with Mayweather.
Whitewash or competitive fight?
Competitive in the beginning, whitewash toward the end.
I am going to say, I'm going to do the same thing. I say it's going to be a KO. Okay. That's the first thing. That's the biggest shocker of all. I'm going to say Mayweather is going to win by KO, and I'm going to say 6th or 8th round KO. And the reason why I'm going to say it's going to be a KO is I think people are going to be shocked. I think there's going to Conor McGregor is going to be dangerous. I mean, extremely dangerous rounds 1 and 2 and round 3. But one of the things I went back and I watched him fight Diaz. The one thing McGregor does is McGregor gasses. If McGregor starts out and he starts out pacing himself, I could see Mayweather peppering him. So I think he has to start out fast, because I think he thinks his only shot is to come out strong, come out fast, and try to land some big shots and knock Mayweather out. But if he doesn't knock Mayweather out, I think he's going to gas. I think Mayweather is so hard to hit, and McGregor's going to be so easy to hit, he's going to pepper him. And eventually, McGregor's going to realize that, listen, I got a big payday. I've lost before. And there's a difference between a guy who's lost before and a guy who's never lost. A guy that's lost before knows there's another day out there. A guy that, like McGregor, can say, you know, if he's getting peppered, he can just say, you know what? I wasn't supposed to win this fight anyway. Thanks for the cheddar. I'm out. What do you think?
I can see a knockout happening. I just give it to... I can't really doubt McGregor anymore.
That's the other part. I'm going to get to that part too.
He's done so much in mixed martial arts. He's had so many accomplishments. He's proved so many doubters wrong. He's continuing to shore up his cardio. He has his own conditioning program now. I think he's going to be able to withstand the beating that Mayweather's going to put on him. And I think that he's going to have a lasting power in there, but I don't think that he's going to be able to compete with decades and decades of experience that Floyd has. I think Floyd can literally just rely on his instincts as a boxer. I mean, he's one of the best, and we're going to find out exactly how much power boxers have compared to amateur boxers or mixed martial art fighters, because there's a huge difference in power that you cannot truly appreciate until you've actually seen it and experienced it.
So to make sure I understand, you do have Mayweather winning the fight, right?
I have him winning. I can see a knockout, but I believe that McGregor is going to be able to withstand that, use some tactics to kind of bail out from that, and stand for the 12 rounds.
Okay. When I say knockout, I don't mean like he's going to knock him unconscious.
You're thinking of TKO, right?
TKO, yeah. Where it's just like he's taking a lot of beatings, you know, a standing eight here, standing eight there. Maybe he goes down to one knee. Eventually the referee steps in and kind of calls the fight. Or McGregor, matter of fact, I'll even go in more detail that I think I'm going to go call for a seventh round stoppage. McGregor calls it quit in between the seventh and eighth round because he just doesn't want to come out and get punished anymore.
I think he'll come out. I don't think McGregor is that type of person. He's going to have it stopped.
Do you want to know why I said that? Is I go back to the Diaz thing. McGregor is a smart man. Everyone can say, you can say a lot of things about McGregor, but when Diaz put that rear naked choke on him, McGregor was smart enough to say, he could have fought that. He could have fought a lot longer, but he knew the gig was up and it was better to come back and fight another day. And so he just went ahead and just said, you know what? It's not my day. I'm going to tap. That's the reason why I could see him stopping while in between rounds on the stool saying, you know what? That's it. You know, I gave it my best, but he's just a better man.
Entirely possible.
McGregor's super smart. He knows, you know, he knows when to give it up, when to pour it on, and he also knows that I got a new baby, I got a wife, and I got some serious cheddar coming. I got some serious cash coming. I'm taking a beating. I don't need to take this beating. It's already set. I'm done.
And if anything, he can always go back to MMA. Right. He can always have that.
It's not over for him. Life's not over for him.
Yeah, I mean, he always has that ace, that proverbial ace in his sleeve, where it's like, this wasn't my sport. I understand. I might have bit off more than I could chew, and I can go back to MMA and dominate there. Or he can just walk away with the amount of money that he's making.
Like, you go back to the original, the very first mixed martial arts fight of all time. And this is something that's probably, you won't even remember this. I don't even remember. I just know going back. It's Muhammad Ali versus the wrestler.
The Japanese wrestler.
Yes. And, you know, nobody goes back and says, oh, that wrestler took it to Muhammad Ali. You know, nobody remembers that because Muhammad Ali wasn't a wrestler. So it was okay if the guy picked Muhammad Ali up and slammed him down. It was no big deal. Same with McGregor. McGregor can go there, get beat up by Mayweather, and in between rounds just say, you know what, that's it, and then take his $50 million plus another, you know, additional $35 million bonus for the pay-per-view or another $50 million pay-per-view bonus, and then say, you know, I'm done. I'm going to take some time off. And then I'm going to go fight Khabib. Or, I'm done. I'm going to retire forever. but it's not going to hurt his legacy. It doesn't mean a thing for him to lose. He's playing with house money the minute this fight has been... Like, matter of fact, he's playing with house money the minute this fight was scheduled, because now the fight is scheduled. Even if the fight is called off, he gets so much extra PR out of this. He wins even if the fight is called off now.
Yeah, but my main worry is, while his legacy may be intact after this fight, how is the casual fan going to view mixed martial arts after being exposed to it in this major fight? Because it's going to be in a boxing ring. It's going to be boxing rules. And we're going to see how a boxing fighter is going to face a mixed martial arts fighter. If the mixed martial arts fighter gets whitewashed, as we are somewhat predicting here, are people going to look down on MMA and think that it's not the greatest combat sport out there? Or will they interpret it as a different sport, like how most people with knowledge about both sports would?
I don't think it's going to hurt mixed martial arts. But what it will hurt is something that Joe Rogan and those and a lot of the guys were saying the night that Stipe Miocic fought. The real baddest man on the planet is a UFC heavyweight champion. Well, if Mayweather goes in there and he mops up Conor McGregor, then that argument is over. Everyone's going to look at it and just say, nope, the baddest man on the planet is not the UFC heavyweight champion. It's some boxer. And I love boxing, but it's like the claim to the baddest man on the planet title, I think that's a thing that'll become a thing of the past, because you can see, you just go and say, you know what? You take a Stipe Miocic, stick him in a boxing ring, and he'll just get eaten up by Vladimir Klitschko or whomever. That's where I think it's going to take a hit. But I don't think... I think a lot of fans will just say it's different because, you know, there's McGregor. You can always say McGregor didn't have a chance to kick. McGregor didn't have a chance to tackle him and take him to the ground or put him in an arm bar. McGregor didn't have a chance to do some dirty boxing and rough him up. You know, when Floyd was on the ropes and he had his shoulder up protecting his chin, McGregor couldn't throw an elbow or a knee. I think a lot of the casual fans will look at that and say, okay, it's a different sport. But the whole concept of truly the baddest man on the planet being an MMA fighter, I think that will take a hit.
I hope that casual fans will be able to understand that they're different sports. But at the end of the day, I just see people thinking a fight is a fight. That's the baddest man. He's the one that won. And I hope that that's not the case, because it'll kind of set the legitimacy of MMA back a little bit, even though it's going to be gained later on. I mean, we've seen it with James Toney and Randy Couture. I'm sure there's other boxers that are going to transfer over to mixed martial arts, and this whole debate will be opened up again. But I hope that they're going to understand that it's two different sports, regardless of the outcome.
You know, and you bring up the Randy Couture James Toney fight. And the one thing, you know, a lot of people talk about that, but I also think about, like, when I saw Ray Mercer, and Ray Mercer came in, and I remember Ray Mercer knocking a guy out cold.
Tim Sylvia,
it just, like, knocking him out just cold. That part's okay, and it didn't hurt, that didn't hurt boxing. It didn't hurt MMA to see Ray Mercer knock out Tim Sylvia. But what it did do, when I think about that James Toney fight, is when James Toney lost, no one wanted to see James Toney in a ring boxing or anything again. Do you agree on that?
I definitely agree.
And so let's say if McGregor gets mopped up, do you think it will hurt some of his luster, and will people not want to see him fight anymore?
I think that his fans, especially from mixed martial arts, because I'm sure he has new boxing fans that want him to beat Mayweather. I'm sure that most of his fans, especially the Irish fans in America and Ireland, are going to continue to back him because he had the courage in order to go and transfer different sports. But the difference between this fight and the James Toney and Randy Couture fight is that both fighters in the Floyd and Conor fight are in their prime. They're on the biggest stage possible. More eyeballs will be on this fight than any other fight. So it's going to magnify all that pressure on Conor. And that's really going to be determined on a case-by-case basis whether or not Conor's going to be able to go on after this.
Well, and the reason why I asked this, that question is, I was actually at this fight. I was at the Ricky Hatton Mayweather fight. And I had fabulous seats for this fight.
You watched that fight? That was awesome.
I was live.
I didn't know that. Yes. Oh man, that was good. That was a good proving point for Mayweather.
And it, you know what? First off, it was one of the greatest, craziest. Like even leading up, walking around Vegas, it was like a circus.
The crowd, yes. the Ricky Hatton supporters. There's only one Ricky Hatton.
I was just gonna sing this because. The greatest thing about that fight was they kept singing, "There's only one Ricky Hatton, only one." And then when Ricky Hatton came charging the ring, and they're like, "There's only one Ricky Hatton, only oh!" And Hatton was gone. Ricky Hatton was done, and he was out.
The turnbuckle fight. Knocked him out.
He was done. But I remember. Ricky Hatton never had that draw like he had that. Never again. He still had a nice following. It was a very nice following. But it wasn't the I'm Elvis, I'm the Beatles following again. He never accomplished that ever again. Once Mayweather laid him out, there was never, you know, never a big, you know, draw. Had, you know... He lost a few more times after that, and that can kind of hurt you as well. But that's one of the things I worry about with McGregor is, with McGregor being the biggest draw in the world as far as mixed martial arts go, does this fight hurt the UFC? You know, by maybe hurting the star power? So that's my question to you.
I think he's going to be able to withstand it. I really do because... He's going to be able to articulate it that he's going out of his way in order to fight in a boxing match versus the mixed martial arts fight. And I really, truly think that he's going to be able to kind of, if he loses, which is a big possibility, if he loses, he's going to be able to man up and explain what happened in that fight. He's going to be able to talk about it. He's going to be able to rationalize it with the people. His fans will still support him because they know that he went and sought the biggest fights. He wants the biggest fights possible. That's what he's always been about. He wants the big paydays. He wants the big fights. He wants the challenges, and he's never backed down from a challenge.
And that was your statement, if he loses. When we come back, we're going to talk about what happens if he wins. We'll talk about if he wins, how will he win? Stay tuned, and we will be right.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Okay, we're back, and we were discussing this little thing called Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. The fight's official.
It brings back good memories, because this is how I would have felt if Floyd had fought Pacquiao, or they had at least scheduled that back in 2009.
You know, and I was happy. You know, I was happy before, during, and after that fight, because I've always been I've been a boxing fan since the 70s. I remember but I'm gonna go as far as to say, for some reason, I'm as excited about this fight as much as I am like Sugar Ray Leonard and Hagler fighting. And I don't know why, because it's not the same kind of a caliber of fight where, you know, I think McGregor has a good shot, but if they fought 10 times, I think Mayweather would win 9 of them and Conor would win 1 of them. And so that's why it's a little different. But speaking of that one, what we're going to talk about now is, the first part is, what's the scenario on how you see Conor McGregor beating the unstoppable Floyd Mayweather?
It's that typical young gun meets old chiseled veteran. And that's what that age factor is what McGregor is going to have to capitalize on. I mean, he is 28 years old, I believe, and Mayweather is 40. Mayweather has a ton of miles on him.
But, you know, Mayweather's miles come from the strip club, not from the ring. You know, the biggest beating Mayweather gets is in the champagne room after he didn't, you know, like when I remember Canelo Alvarez is considered pound for pound the best fighter in the world. I don't even remember Canelo ever even landing a real punch on Mayweather when he fought him.
He was young. He was younger. He was younger, but that's still, yeah, that's a good example. I mean, Canelo trained his entire life in the art of boxing.
Yeah.
He's 23 years old.
He's the best fighter in the world. Do we agree with that?
Yeah, he is right now. Until he faces Triple G. We'll talk about that another time. But anyways, he was 23 at that time. McGregor is 28 years old with most of his combative experience in MMA, which encompasses ground fighting. So do I think that McGregor is a better fighter than Canelo? No. But there's one thing that you can never take away from any fighter, especially Conor McGregor.
I know I cut you off. I know you were going to say, do you think he's a better fighter than Canelo? No. The question I want you to answer, and I apologize about cutting you off, is who hits harder, Canelo or McGregor?
I think Canelo hits harder.
I wasn't expecting that one.
Canelo hits harder. I just know that. I mean,
if you're right, then it's a wrap. It's over.
It might be over then. but the thing is, with every fight, especially with a Conor McGregor fight, you got that puncher's chance. And can people take that left hand shot? Not many people have.
Okay, I'm going to give you my scenario on how McGregor wins this fight. McGregor, I'm going to touch on what you said, is the younger man. I think McGregor has a lot of freaking power. McGregor, people are going to be surprised. McGregor's going to be the much larger guy. He's going to be a bigger guy. That's one of the things. What weight class are they fighting at? Did you see that?
It's a 154 catch weight bout.
154. Okay. McGregor is going to be a big 154. He's going to be taller. He's going to have the range. okay, Mayweather is going to be older. Is this the day that Mayweather's reflexes fail him? It doesn't have to. It could be one time in the ring. It could be, you know, one time he catches him. You know, can be the game changer.
It almost happened in the Shane Mosley fight.
It almost happened in the Zab Judah fight. Zab Judah nailed Mayweather.
Yeah, he didn't deal with southpaws as well.
That's what I'm just about to say. That shot's coming from a different angle when you're throwing it from that left. So how do I see a deal where Conor McGregor could win? A situation where he catches Floyd early, even if he doesn't knock him out, but he hurts him and puts Floyd on the ropes and starts wearing him down using his size and roughing him up. That's how I could see it happening, where the damage, he takes a lot of damage early because he's the bigger fighter. He's the stronger fighter where he can smother him. He's going to have the longer reach. He's going to be the rangier fighter. I could see that situation happening. Also, you know, I'm talking about how he can beat him. I'm tossing out the puncher's chance. I'm saying how he can beat him outright is about by using the size difference, by using the reach, by using the muscle and hurting him and wearing him down and grinding it out and then slowly stopping him. That's how I could see a situation where Conor McGregor pulls off a win.
Yes, that's the game plan that he's going to have to utilize. Another variable that we haven't even considered is the trash talk. The mental games that McGregor is going to attempt to play on Floyd. I mean, nobody's ever done it in MMA like Conor has done it. The promotional tour that he did with Jose Aldo, and how he was able to break, kind of fluster Jose Aldo, who's never been flustered mentally before. He just worked a number on him before that fight ever even started.
That fight was won when Conor McGregor
took his belt.
Oh, wait. I got to take a knee. When he took that belt, that was one of the greatest and smoothest things I'd ever seen in my life. I was stunned. But when he jumped over... He fought someone and knocked him out, and he jumped over. Was that Max Holloway?
He actually beat Dennis Seaver.
Okay, he jumped over and he was yelling at Jose Aldo. That fight was over then. You see the way how Jose was like, "What the heck's wrong with this dude?" He was in his head.
He thought he was a joke. Yes. He thought McGregor was a joke.
Yes, and you know sometimes fighters lose before they ever get in the ring, a.k.a. or Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey lost to Holly Holm at the weigh-in. I remember watching that fight, and everyone was stunned that Ronda Rousey lost to Holly Holm. But I watched the weigh-in, and I turned to my wife, and I said, I would have bet, before the weigh-in, I would have bet the farm, my two dogs, my future kids, and your future kids, that Ronda Rousey was going to win that fight. I saw that weigh-in, and I turned to my wife, and I said, this fight is over. Ronda's going to lose. Watch tomorrow. Ronda's going to lose. My wife thought I was crazy, and Ronda just did not look right that whole fight. My point bringing this up is this. Mayweather is used to being, as he say, the A-side. He's the promoter. He's the talker. I've never seen a situation where Mayweather has been out-talked, out-showed. Someone else is a bigger showman. What is that going to get to Mayweather a little bit? Because he's used to being in the catbird seat, in the driver's seat, making that decision on how things are going to go and all the brass comments are going to come from him as he's throwing $100 bills out there. Well, while he's throwing out hundreds, Mayweather's going to be throwing 50s out. You know, he can't match them dollar for dollar. Yeah. So it's going to be Mayweather throw out 100, McGregor throw out a 50 or a 20. But McGregor's going to be there step by step. Is that going to be different for Floyd?
I don't. We've never seen it before. We've seen Floyd get flustered out of the ring. He's gotten angry at situational things, random occasions, but he's never truly gotten angry at a fighter that just completely denounces all of his skill and all of his accomplishments and his age and everything about him. That is something that Mayweather, that's something that McGregor brings to the table.
But on the same token, you know what I have seen? I have seen this on a couple of different occasions where Conor McGregor has gotten very upset with announcers who have said, you have no shot. And he gets flustered and get very angry. And it could backfire on McGregor as well, where McGregor's like, I'm going to show them. I'm going to come in and I'm going to bust this man up just to show them and shut them up. And if it doesn't happen and Floyd's slipping and ducking and doing what he does best, is that going to get them? Because I say Floyd could get to McGregor a lot faster if round one and two goes by and he's not landing anything and McGregor starts getting winded. I could totally see a lot of things going into McGregor's head. But the question is, you know, so that's one thing I question about. The other thing I question is, can you get to Floyd that way? So
it's tough. I mean, I've never... Floyd is all about the show. He's all about the promotion. He's all about getting people to buy the show, buy the pay-per-views, and getting butts in seats. Yeah. And once he has that, he can have a circus as his walk-in. He can do all these crazy things. But when it comes to fighting, when it comes to boxing, he is automatic. He has insane cat-like reflexes. He's a defensive mastermind in the ring. On the other hand, with McGregor, and we've seen him get flustered before.
Yeah, and I was going to say, even that's the other thing. Even if McGregor hits him, when you get hit, the whole thing, everybody has a plan until you get hit. But the reason why that saying is popular, and Mike Tyson used to say that, is because when you get hit, you go back to what your instincts are, your basic instincts. Floyd Mayweather's basic instincts, his dad was a championship contender. His uncle was a championship contender. It's in his pedigree. When he was a baby, months old, he was in the gym. When he was 1 and 2 years old, there's tape of him, you know, hanging around the gym. What comes natural to Floyd? Slipping and ducking. It's second nature to him. When you hit Floyd, it's still business as usual. But it's not going to be business as usual for McGregor. Second of all is, McGregor has kind of a karate type style, would you say?
Yeah.
He's not going to do that in the ring, is he?
He might, and that might be something that will surprise Floyd.
And if he does, I personally think he needs to do that in the ring because that's what's natural to him. If McGregor goes in there and he tries to do something, if they use their training camp to teach McGregor to be a boxer, that means he's an amateur boxer. McGregor has to do what he's been doing in the UFC before he was in the UFC. He has to keep that style, that weird, weird style. There just won't be no, when he start off, it won't start off with a spin kick. You know, it won't be that stuff, but he has to do what he's comfortable doing, because if not, if he goes in there and she starts boxing, when he gets cracked, he's going to try to go back. If he gets hurt, you naturally go back to what brought you there, what you're comfortable doing. And you start overthinking, what are you doing? Once you start thinking in the ring, it's a wrap.
Yeah. McGregor has to go full McGregor. He has to bring it. All that he has to do the peacocking that he always does.
I was going to say the Billy strut, the weird stands. He needs to bring, he has to do McGregor to the max.
Put your hands behind your back if you want. Do something that's going to get Mayweather uncomfortable, frazzled, and a little bit vulnerable. Maybe Mayweather's going to try to imitate that. Maybe he's going to fall for that, and he's going to try to play that game too. And in that moment, that gives McGregor a chance, and that's all he needs.
You know, and that's a great point. If McGregor tries and starts doing things, and he can get Mayweather to start doing things out of the ordinary, then that gives him a good shot. He has to take the thing Canelo Alvarez, Miguel Cotto, De La Hoya, Manny Pacquiao, none of Zab Judah, Shane Mosley. You can keep going on and on because he's never dodged anybody. None of them ever got him to move outside of his comfort zone. Ever. He's always comfortable in the ring because he just does what he's been doing since he was a kid. Can Conor make him uncomfortable?
I hope he can.
So, my next question is, we talked about how we could see him winning. I talked about, you know, how being his size, roughing him up, catching him early, things like that. The next thing is, what happens if Conor McGregor wins?
He transcends the sports. He transcends any sport, and he becomes part of the culture. He's integrated in pop culture. He becomes the idea. He becomes a mystic figure at that point. Because nobody's ever done what he's been able to do. Nobody's ever talked as much as he's done and really backed it up, other than Muhammad Ali. That's the only person that has done it. And in this new age of media, in this new age of glorified information, the spreading of information to the masses, no one's ever done it to the scale that he can possibly do it.
I'm going to say this. Do you think Conor McGregor will step into a octagon ever again?
If he gets bored. And that's something that every athlete and every sporting figure has to reconcile with themselves. I think that he won't, because he has the wherewithal to understand that it doesn't get better than that. It doesn't get better. He's set up for life. He can move on to bigger, better things. He doesn't need to get punched in the head anymore. He doesn't need to do it, because what else is left?
This is what I say is going to happen, or what he should do. If he wins, he immediately does a rematch with Floyd. That's what I would do. Because there's the great thing about making a $100 million payday, there's one thing better than a $100 million payday, and that's a second $100 million payday. If Floyd doesn't want that second $100 million payday, I call up Manny Pacquiao, or I call out the winner, Triple G versus Miguel, oh my God, I can't even think of his name. We've just been talking about him, Canelo Alvarez. I call out the winner of that one, because at that point, he's house money. He walks out with like $200 million, $250 million if he beats Floyd, and then rolls into the winner of Triple G, Canelo, or Manny Pacquiao. But the one thing I never do again, I never, ever step in a ring, in a UFC ring again. Never. No way.
No octagon?
Never.
Not even for Nate Diaz?
Never. I wouldn't even step in the ring to do an interview with Joe Rogan. I would never. If I walked out of there with $100 million, the only thing, the minute he beats Floyd Mayweather, first off, the minute he won those two titles, everything else is downhill. The only thing he has left to do in the UFC after winning those two titles is to go up and challenge Woodley. That would be the only thing that he would have left to do. Anything else, if he fights Khabib, and Khabib, matter of fact, I'm being honest, I think Khabib would whoop him. I think Khabib would take him apart in the ring just because of the style. I love McGregor, but I think Khabib would just eat him alive. But if he fights Khabib and he loses, Khabib is no name. Nobody knows who Khabib is. There's UFC fans that don't know who Khabib is. Ferguson. Ferguson is dangerous as I don't know what. Nobody knows who Ferguson is. So if he fights Khabib, it's Conor McGregor versus some weird Russian guy. That's what everyone's going to say. It's Conor McGregor versus some Latin guy. Some guy, you know, but no one knows who Ferguson or Khabib. And if he gets his butt whooped, it just hurts his legacy. But he can turn around and he can fight Triple G or Canelo or Pacquiao and make another $100 million. He can turn around and fight Floyd and make another $100 million and then retire walking out of there about $200-$250 million. And if Gina Carano, who cannot, and if Gina's listening, I'm sorry, she's not the greatest actress in the world. Ronda Rousey, definitely not the greatest actress in the world. Randy Couture, Tyrone Woodley. These guys can get acting gigs. You don't think McGregor can act. He can do wrestling. He can do so much more. He'd have $250 million and a very easy leisure lifestyle the rest of his life. There's no benefit for going back in that ring.
You know what he could do?
What's that?
He can take the business model that Floyd created for himself. Floyd was tired of fighting for Al Haymon and promoters, so he created Mayweather Promotion to get himself a bigger piece of the pie. Basically the whole pie, if we're being honest. And McGregor can do the same if he's able to win that.
No, he can't.
Why is that?
He's under contract to the UFC.
That's true.
When Mayweather, don't mean to shoot down your thing, because if this was at the end of his contract, I agree with you. Yes, he'd be sitting pretty. But he's smack dab in the middle of his contract with a number of fights. And time doesn't end his contract. Only thing ends his contract is number of fights.
What about retirement?
Well, retirement, that's the reason why I say he never don't step back in the ring because he's under contract, but he could go and box and either work with the UFC on a boxing or take the UFC to court because it's not in the UFC ring. He could box, he could wrestle, he could do movies, and none of that kind of really affects his contract. He could retire from the UFC clean, but have this entire career outside. Another thing that he could do, he wins in August. He goes on a media blitz tour September, October, November, December. January 1st, he shows up in a WWE ring, you know, and busts Brock Lesnar over the head with a chair, challenges him to a match at WrestleMania. Floyd Mayweather can't touch me and neither can you. WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar, Conor McGregor, pulling another $30, $40, $50 million.
Sitting pretty.
That's anything else you want to add to the Conor McGregor? I know this episode's been all about Conor McGregor. We're going to touch on a couple other things before we wrap things up. But I just wanted to make sure we covered everything as far as you were thinking.
It was a good start.
You like that Brock Lesnar, Conor McGregor, the WrestleMania match, don't you?
I do love it. I want to see if Brock can take that left-hand shot.
It's all scripted. It's all safe. I can see he pulls off a win against against Floyd Mayweather. He walks out of the ring. Last time you see him in a UFC ring, he has two belts. Last time you see him in a boxing ring, he's standing over Floyd Mayweather. You don't think Vince McMahon would just pull up a Brinks truck and just say, when you get done counting zeros, call me. You know, it's a match made in heaven.
That would be amazing.
And you know, when you're talking about that, you know, it's scripted. So he can just say, as long as I win, done.
Yeah.
You know, so you see him win there. It's a win-win. If he wins, the world's his oyster. Just never step in that ring, that UFC ring again. There's only bad can come from that.
Yeah, you can just look back in history. Only bad comes from going back. Yeah,
there's nothing good coming back from this. Even if he gets mopped up, let's say he gets mopped up and he loses, I still don't go back. Okay, if he gets mopped up in the ring against Floyd, and then he comes back and his first fight is against Ferguson or Khabib or even Diaz or Tyron Woodley. Those are all really dangerous fights that if he loses, he falls even further. I don't take it. No way. I'm done with the UFC after this.
All right. So Tate thinks he's going to be the man that rides off in the sunset. And that's not a bad plan.
That's not a bad plan. All right. So we're going to take another break, our final break. Before, when we come back, I know we've hit you with a heavy, heavy dose of Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on with Demetrius Johnson and his situation with the UFC. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, we got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Okay, so this whole episode we've been talking about the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight that just got finalized, and we're gonna talk a little bit about some things that kind of went down the last few weeks in mixed martial arts, and we're gonna kick it off by talking about the dispute, the undercard to Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, which is Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson versus Dana White. And bringing it up to speed, Dana has told Demetrius that they want him, or not necessarily Dana, UFC has told Demetrius that they want him to fight TJ Dillashaw. Demetrius doesn't want to fight TJ Dillashaw because TJ Dillashaw is not in his division, and they're like, well, too bad, TJ's already cutting weight. Well, Demetrius, like, it sounds like you're trying to look out for TJ Dillashaw and not me. Demetrius is trying to break Anderson Silva's record. I respect what he's saying, because he's saying is, listen, I'm fighting people in my division. If TJ Dillashaw want to come down and have one fight in my division and then fight me, I will fight him. But if not, I don't want to fight him. I want to fight the number one contender. And the UFC has just pretty much said, listen, either, you know, you'll take this fight because you don't have a say, or we'll just scrap the division. How do you feel about this situation?
Well, to give a little bit more history on that, they made him fight and signed to fight Ray Borg, who is the number one contender. And Cody Garbrandt, a tough coach against TJ Dillashaw, got injured, with a back injury, so he's out. So they wanted to set up another fight to replace that, and they decided to go with TJ Dillashaw. Well, the thing about Mighty Mouse, he doesn't want to fight TJ Dillashaw because TJ's never fought in 125 at flyweight before.
Never.
And he's scared that he'll lose weight. So a stipulation that he wants to have on his contract is that if TJ misses weight, Mighty Mouse will get paid for the win bonus because he didn't get a chance to defend his title, didn't get a chance to break the record, and Dana White and company are having none of that.
And I don't think that's a crazy demand. You're going to make me have a guy who's never fought in this division ever come down and cut weight and make me fight him. But if he misses weight, then I don't get paid because he shouldn't have been fighting me in the first place. No, I think if you get him to agree, he should get paid. If he shows up, matter of fact, I'm going to go as far as to say this. Every single fighter in the UFC roster, if you schedule a fight and you make weight and the other guy doesn't make weight, you should get your fight, you should get your pay, your win bonus, and a percentage of his pay.
That's how it should be. And the thing is, TJ has agreed to that. He said put it in the contract. He tweeted that out. So the only issue here is kind of the power dynamic between long-time defending and soon-to-try-to-record-breaking champion Demetrius Johnson and Dana White and company. They're just having a power struggle now. And that's really disappointing. That's really disappointing to see.
Do you agree? First off, I think it's wrong to force a guy to fight someone out of their division. That's kind of like saying to Tyron Woodley, okay, too bad. I know you got a title shot. You're supposed to be fighting someone else, but your guy dropped out, so you're fighting John Jones. And you're like, well, John Jones is a former champion, a weight class above. Well, John Jones is a light heavyweight. Well, he's already starting to cut weight. Too bad. Well, that's not right. There's no difference in that. That scenario, and that scenario sounds crazy, right?
Yeah.
There's no difference between that scenario and the TJ Dillashaw scenario. Is there?
Well, I'll play devil's advocate. Not that I'm saying Dana White is devil's advocate.
Did you just call Dana White the devil?
No, I didn't. No one said that. No. Don't hurt me, Dana. Anyways, if they were just trying to put the biggest fight possible, that is a money fight. Regardless of what is going on, that is a fight that people would want to see.
I don't agree with you.
Why that?
Here's the reason why. Demetrius Johnson breaking Anderson Silva's record is the media event for MMA fans. Fighting Demetrius Johnson versus TJ Dillashaw is a fight that MMA fans would show up for. But it's whether Demetrius defends the title against the number one contender or TJ Dillashaw, it won't move the pay-per-view meter more or less, I don't think, either way. You're not going to pull the casual fighter or the casual fan in to say, oh, I heard Demetrius Johnson is fighting TJ Dillashaw. TJ Dillashaw isn't a big enough name to move the meter enough to make it a factor. So that's the reason why I say, as far as I'm an MMA fan, so I'm like, ooh, TJ Dillashaw and Demetrius Johnson. But if you're just Bob on the street, they won't even know about it.
Well, here's another issue which Mighty Mouse is also mad about. They are not promoting him or the flyweight division. And if they were able to rectify that, if they were able to promote this champion versus kind of champion, ex-champion, it's a bigger event than anything that Demetrius Johnson has fought before. And if you had the promotional push that, say, a Conor McGregor or a Ronda Rousey or a Brock Lesnar has received, he'd have a better chance.
I have a theory on that one, but I'm not going to touch that this today. I'll talk about that on another episode. I don't think there's certain fighters, in my opinion, in the UFC that does not get certain champions don't get the same treatment as other champions do. Whether they don't feel their media, they're not a media darling, whatever the reason is, there's certain fighters that just don't get the promotional love. Demetrius, one of them. Tyron Woodley is one of those fighters. Chris Cyborg is one of those fighters. They just don't get the push. And Anderson Silva, with the crazy situation with him, I look at. Matter of fact, I'm going to add this to the conversation piece. You know, Anderson Silva wanted to fight Yoel Romero for an interim title. And they were like, no, no way. Anderson Silva is the greatest fighter of all time. He's had this, he's had an amazing history, defended the title more than anyone else. He can't get an interim title shot, but Dan Henderson got a direct title shot and wasn't remotely in the same category as Anderson Silva. Certain fighters get special treatment and other fighters do not. Do you agree or do you disagree?
I agree, and I think that Demetrius Johnson's main issue with his whole ordeal is that he's not getting the respect that he feels he has earned by being a company man, by taking last-minute notice fights, by showing up to fights, by not missing weight, by doing everything that they've asked from him. And I think like it's just a whole respect.
Yeah, he's been kind of, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but he's been kind of like this little respectable guy, kind of a little nerdy. I don't rock the boat. Whatever the company wants, let's do it. I'm behind you 100%. And in the end, you get no appreciation for it. It's kind of, once again, like Anderson Silva saying, you know what? I'm a company man. John Jones can't make the fight. UFC 200 needs a big headliner. I shouldn't fight Daniel Cormier, the guy who's never lost to anyone other than John Jones, with one day and no training camp. But I'm going to do it for the company because I care. I do something for the company. Company doesn't even say thank you to him. And then he loses, which everyone knew he was going to be a sacrificial lamb. He didn't get anything like a thank you or here, let's give him a little something special, a little extra fight or an extra. No, they didn't do anything for him. And hence the reason why I say this to Demetrius Johnson. Don't do anything unless it benefits you. Don't nobody look out for Tate better than Tate. And don't nobody should look out for Demetrius Johnson better than Demetrius Johnson. Because when it's all said and done, he fights TJ Dillashaw and TJ Dillashaw misses weight and he has to fight a bigger fighter and he loses. The history books will not remember that it was a catch weight or that he was a former champ. All they're going to look at is that he lost and the UFC is not going to thank you. Do what's best for you, Demetrius. That's my take on it. Do you have any last words before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I mean, the UFC kind of set themselves up with that, with the WME fighter convention and how they had Kobe and like Snoop Dogg speak to the fighters about promoting themselves. And Mighty Mouse learned from that, and that's exactly what he's doing, and I commend him for what he's doing.
By the way, what did you think about that shot that Chris Cyborg did?
Against Angela Magana?
Yes.
Well, some people ask for things. Angela is one of them.
Sometimes when you run your mouth, if you can't back it up, sometimes you get caught. And she got caught. I think she got off light because I think Cyborg should have I shouldn't condone her hitting her outside of the ring, but I think she got what was coming to her. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Very karmic force.
Karma is one badass boomerang. And with that, I'm out.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.